Anybody love going to the doctor? Everybody loves going to the doctor. Raise your hand. No hands go up. This gentleman had been to the doctor. He went and did a blood workup. You know, I have to fast, and he got to, you know, do the blood test thing. And so he gets to the doctor's office, and he gets to his appointment. He walks in, and the doctor says, well, I got some news for you. And the gentleman's sitting there looking at the doctor. Okay, what is it? Your pancreas is failing. Your pancreas is failing. It's not going to do very well. He walks out of the office and does life normal. Got this news. Pancreas is about to fail. Goes on with life and does life as normal. About a year goes by. You got to go back to the doctor, you know. You got that annual test, you know, check up again, did the workup again. And, well, a year later, the man went to the doctor's. Well, the doctor was out of the room. He looks down at the paperwork that's sitting there for him. And he reads the paperwork. So the results is, it's stated failing pancreas stage 4. Okay. Not good, right? Doctor comes in the room. Hey, Doc, how's it going? Doc, what's wrong with me? Well, there's nothing wrong with you. Why, you're lying to me. You're lying to me. Apparently, my pancreas is failing. The doctor said, sir, I told you a year ago that you had a failing pancreas, and you didn't listen. The point is, you're too stubborn to listen, so I don't tell you anymore. Interesting response from a doctor, right? A lot of times, just like the man, not listening to the doctor's advice, Jesus gives us a written word of God. We're called to read it, to be in it, to live it, to not only be hearers of the words as James speaks of, but to be what? Doers of the word. And so, therefore, the crowd that Jesus was speaking to, he's gonna deal with some of that. They're gathered just to be healed and get fed, maybe. So he made a shift in his style of ministry. This is where we're going to be picking up our story, found in Mark chapter 4, 1 through 40 here shortly. Instead of lecturing the crowd per se, he uses what? A parable. And so if they were serious about knowing him, about knowing what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, they would ask what that story meant. They would inquire more. Others would get frustrated maybe and possibly leave, right? He was weeding out the crowd, if you will. Jesus' main point was drawing a line in the sand. And so this concept still applies to today. Do you have ears to hear the truth of God's word? Even as you sit here amongst each other today, do his principles really get through to the ears, down to the heart, therefore creating and causing a life experience that's life-changing? And so there's fruit, right? As Galatians speaks about, and it's evident and it shows. Or does it fall on deaf ears? Oh, I already know that. Oh, I already understand that. And you really kind of do nothing with it. So as you leave here today, remember this: God's word should change you. And so his word should go from the head to the heart, okay? You should listen, hear, and be faithful to do something. Preferably change for the good. Taking out the old, put it on the new. So if you remember chapter 3, Jesus experienced opposition from the scribes, and so they accused him of being possessed by demons, by Satan. He drew a line in the sand with these leaders, didn't he? And Jesus accused them of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that unpardonable sin thing. In addition, his own family opposed him, and so they accused him of shaming the family name. We need to go get him. We need to take custody of him. He drew the line in the sand with his own family, and he said anyone who follows him was his family, his mother, his brother, his sister. Those that are chosen, those that listen, those that seek to follow after Christ and the word that he preaches and teaches. Now in chapter 4, we see he weeds out the crowd. And here's something that we need to know before we even probably get into the passage. That crowd that had gathered the setting, the picture, I can just picture this is kind of like a cove setting. And if you've ever been to an area that has a cove, it creates an amphitheater type effect, if you will. And so the crowd's coming there in the Sea of Galilee, and they have this natural amphitheater. And so because the crowd wants the healing, they want to touch him, they want to experience, he gets in a boat, right? And that's where he preaches and teaches from. So Jesus stood in the boat, anchored off the shore, and the crowd could hear him clearly and directly. And so, in fact, he would preach to thousands this way. So, second thing that we also see within this text, and we're going to see, and think to know and understand what is a parable. What is a parable? An earthly story, you've heard it said, with a heavenly meaning. Well, let me unpack that more. You could put the letter com before the word parable and get what? Comparable. So what does that really mean? It's the story that compares something from the physical world with something that is spiritual world. It's comparable. It's likened unto. It's like this. Okay? The third words that are written, sower, soil, seed. We're going to kind of unpack those a little bit because they get misinterpreted. The word sower, or the farmer had some seeds, the word. The soil path reminds the mind of individuals, maybe, but those are not the main points of the parable, okay? And we need to remember this as we read this text. The main point is the fruit of the crop. What is it yielding? What impact has the word had on the lives that are hearing this word? And so before we go any further and we open up our text to Mark chapter 4, take your copy of the Word of God, verses 1 through 20, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time to get into your word and once again and just be taught by it. Be reminded and I'm and be real. Ask the hard question, where do I fall? Which one am I? How am I been living? So may your word be true, right, and correct, that pierces hearts and lies and redirects thinking if needed, encourages thinking and life application. Lord, bless your word this morning, we pray in your son's name again. Amen. Mark 4, verse 1. And he, meaning Jesus, began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered to him. So they got into the boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured it, and other seeds fell on rocky grounds where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, and since it had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And the other seeds fell into good soil. And those that fall on good soil produce grain and growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So now that we see him explain the purpose of the parable. Verse 10, and when it was all done, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. So it was the 12 plus those around him. There were others that stayed behind. They wanted no more details here. And he said to them, do you have been given the secrets of the kingdom of God? But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive. And many indeed hear but not understand. Lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And the sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have not rooted in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are on the ones sown among the thorns. There are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that are sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So this morning, let's unpack the different soils in this passage and look at the principles we see that we're going to see very clearly. We see in the first thing is the seed that fell on the path represents the soil of someone's heart that are hard, really. The path, the compact soil. So, you know, listen to this. Hear this with ears to hear. That's the opening phrase. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds, and they fell among the path. The birds came down, and they devoured it. In those days, farmers didn't plant wheat or grain crops in row settings. You know, what they would do, they would break the soil with their wooden plows, and they would have probably hedges around them, and so are rocks that would define their land or their area that they're planting a crop. And so they break that soil, and then they get in there, and they start throwing seed around. This is my seed, you know. So over there, right there. So I'm going to throw some seed around. Oh, catch those, sorry. All righty, right there. All right. Oh, yeah. The back row. Oh, I got one left. We're in the back row again. It wasn't super hard candy, so so the farmers, they didn't plant that way. The farmer's field was, I guess, you can't see now. that was falling on footpaths. You know, the footpaths were not plowed areas. Those were hard ground, so the seed would be easily picked up by wildlife, birds especially, you know, coming. Eat the seed on that path. So notice the principle here in Mark 4:15. It says this, and these seeds, the mind of individuals, that is, are the ones along the path where the word, God's word, is sown. And when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Have you ever been at a beach and you break out, it's snack time, lunch time, whatever you want to call it, you put your lunch out, and what happens sometimes? I don't even need to tell you. Those seagulls, those notorious, they come and snatch that food out of your hand. Little rabbit trail, I got to tell you a true story. Took a group of junior hires to the beach. Did I tell this story to this group? Took a group of junior hires. One of my chaperones, the pastor's wife, the head pastor's wife. Some of you guys know Del Marie. She was one of my chaperones, and so I was down there swimming in the water with the kids and come back up, and then lo and behold, the seagulls were coming in. But why were the seagulls coming in? Well, some of those rotten rascals took their lunch, and Del Marie is laying on the beach, doesn't like sun, and her face was covered, and towel was over her, and she was laying there on the beach. Those little rotten rascals put food on top of and around. They snuck really quiet like. I wish I had that picture to show you on the screen. But those seagulls are coming in, man. They're going to get that food. Later on, she noticed and she looked up and she was a good sport. So what's the picture here is when the word of God is preached at times, you know, and before you can even take root in the heart of the individual, Satan snatches the truth away. He comes in and does his dirty deeds, you know, father of all lies, right? This is called a hard heart at times too. The individual may be where they're sitting there, you're approaching them with the word and truth and living it out amongst them, or it's being preached on the radio, and they quickly change the channel, or it's on the TV set or whatever. The word's coming and being proclaimed, and there's those that are out there, and it's just hard hearts, you know. This is called a hard heart, and the truth of this is there, but you don't think it's for you. I've been around people like that. That's not for me. That's for you. That's your crutch. You've heard that line, right? You're not going to apply that principle in my life. The principle's for someone else. The truth never gets to the heart. It never does. So maybe you're hard-headed or stubborn, and the stiff-necked term applies greatly. Or you got people that you know that are definitely like that as the word's being preached, as you're proclaiming it, being a witness, loving them. A person who has no interest in spiritual things, really. The second seed that fell on rocky soil represents the soil of someone's heart that are shallow. This is really shallow. And Mark 4, 4 through 5 says, other seeds fell on rocky ground there where it did not have much soil, and immediately sprang up since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. That rocky soil, this thin layer of topsoil, a slab of rock underneath, it might be a great for building, you know, but not good for planting. Roots couldn't find and take root deep to a source, you know. And first, the seed showed promise, maybe, and some plants may trickled up and grow stunted or whatever, but soon they'd wither away because the sun would come and it would hit. And so notice that principle in Mark 4, 16 and 17. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they heard the word, immediately received it with joy. Their heart, they heard God's word, okay, and initially embraced Christ, and they were excited about it, but they had immediately imitated the semblance of joy and peace. But look what happens in verse 7. And they had no root in themselves, but endured for a while. And then when the tribulations or persecution arose on account of the word, and that's important to note, that they're maybe trying to live it out, and maybe a family member calls them out on something or reminds them of some past failure. And then so they struggle. And so immediately they fall away, it says. But when this person discovers hardship, they're not clinging to the hope that's in them. The storm hits in life, shortcomings, whatever, difficulties, financial, mental, whatever. They immediately fall away. They fall by the side. The Greek word, the phrase fall away means to trip or fall away from God's truth. That's what's being described there in that text. So wanting a quick fix, maybe even a quick solution for life's problems. You know, I want to try this Christianity thing. On an emotional roller coaster in life, and good, God is good, and life's hard, and then they blame God, you know. So instead, when a storm in life hits, they should be firmly rooted, right? So they can know his promises and see his hands, and through those storms and those difficulties of life, I see the hand of God working. I see how he ministers, how he provided or protected. Trust in him more and more, and steadily growing. The shallow person has no firm root in God's word. They respond with, really a lot of times, emotions and an emotional response. And they follow the crowd and what the crowd's doing. They listen to God's word to maybe please a friend. It's kind of like the joke about missionary dating. You know, some people date unchristians, you know, whether it's guy or girl, and they just do it to please them, and there's alternative motives. They are hearers but not doers of God's word. Maybe even true believers, probably not. But that's how shallow it is. If this describes you, here's what our God is ready and willing to do. Our God's ready to help transplant you into good soil, to rescue you, to help you become deeply rooted. He did that with my life, you know. I heard God's word, and I was convicted by it. And yeah, there possibly was the solid conversion experience, but, you know, it wasn't until really I got away, and I learned some more things about God's word, and I studied God's word by all, and I started to say, okay, I need to apply these truths. I mean, I've tried to do it and didn't know a whole lot, but you know what? Hearing the word and not doing anything with it, that calls for some accountability, and I think that's what God's word is doing right now for each and every one of us. Doing God's word and being transplanted, a life that's transplanted into good soil that produces much fruit, is where we are should be heading, be living, if you will. You want to grow. You want to mature. The seed that fell on thorny soil represents the soil of someone's heart that are distracted, really. And I kind of looked at that category, and I thought, oh, man, dude, ouch, that's hitting home here. Other seeds fall among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it out and yield no grain. This is what Mark 4, 7 says. So again, when the farmer threw the seeds near the edge of the land, you know, some of the seeds fell among the weeds. So it may have had a hard path, but there's also the part where there's bordered, and there's weeds and thistles and thickets and whatnot. And some of those seeds fell among those weeds, and they had no chance to even compete because those were established areas, and there's so there would be shade and lack of sunlight and lack of plenty of soil nutrition there. And so receiving enough nourishment was very difficult. And that's the word picture being painted there. They couldn't produce fruit. Easily choked out by those weeds. Notice the principle in Mark 4, 18 and 19. And the others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but they carry off the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This describes a person whose mind's distracted. Anybody have a distracted mind? Let's be truthful. At times we can. Yeah, he does. Distracted mind easily happens. Quickly happens. That's why you all constantly hear me say, and I kind of constantly remind myself, Lord, thanks for the breath of life. May I think and read and focus and pray and be filled by your spirit this morning hour as I go forth this day. Because things of the world, the job, the relationships, the tasks, the projects are going to distract. Easily distract. Again, describing there the person whose mind is distracted, busy, preoccupied believers. They receive the word of God a tad better, but eventually get distracted by worries and wealth, really. That's why that saying is harder, what, for a rich man? For a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man. Why? Why is that illustration there? That's another one. Compare. Because, you know, you're busy spending your money or living what you have. And I can see that. It's harder to want to be comfortable. You pursue other things that make you happy. You lack commitment. You're more concerned about the present and less concerned about the spiritual things in the future. God coming back one day, eternity. Living with eternity in mind, you've heard me say that. Less concerned about those spiritual things. You're influenced by comfort and other things. I understand it, especially when you're younger. That's where your heart and mind will go. As we're seasoned and get older in life, you're not as much so, possibly. You're influenced by comfort or other things. Your relationships with Christ is low list on the priority. Honestly, I commend you guys right now that are sitting here today, because I can tell you a lot of people that are not in church, where are they at? Preparing for Super Bowl. We did that last night. So I'll get you out on time, right? So you don't miss a single thing. But they're preoccupied. You know, they got friends coming over, a party to have, or a party to go to, or a trip to travel. You know, they're preoccupied, and there's no real fruit, no real surrender of the heart. Say, hey, as for me and my life, as me and my house, and notice I said my life because it starts with you first, then others, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to walk with God. We're going to make him a priority. Those other things need to take back seat, not front seat. So there's no real fruit of the Spirit, no real surrender of the heart. And that fruit of the Spirit, I say that and repeat that again, is there's no real joy and love and peace and patience and kindness. That's why I said this one kind of hits home, because I kind of think I've experienced some of this of late, you know, being preoccupied or distracted and being real here. Maybe this is you again. God's ready to transplant you. He's ready to call me back, draw me back closer to him. Cause me to remember and be reminded what's important. One thing to remember is that God does the transplanting, okay? You can't make that happen for somebody else. You just got to kind of worry about yourself and let God do the transplanting. Let God do the work. The Holy Spirit does the transplanting. He can pray. You can pray for other people. That's important, right? But God's work in their hearts and their minds is God's work. Let God be who God is. The fourth thing is the seed that fell on the good soil represents the soil of someone's heart that produces good fruit. So look at Mark 4, 8 through 9. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain and growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Farming life is an investment life. Your investment is in each seed dropped, you know, and you're praying and hoping that it'll give you much return and great return. So the seed that falls on good soil eventually will multiply for the farmer a great investment, right? It says return 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Huge harvest, you know. I gotta stop right there really quick. And Heidi pointed that out in her slides, and made me think of this part of the sermon. And that lady in that front row, a lot of people are there in that church because of that lady in the front row. What was she doing? She was living God's word out. She was telling others. She was inviting others. She was bringing others to the fold to sit under the preaching and teaching the word. Not knowing where they're at, and Heidi made it very clear, a lot of them may not even know the Lord. Even that lady spiritually, but she's hungry and she wants to hear. That's important stuff. And the farmer could experience a great return. Rainfall, soaked soil, and good soil, great combination. Produces bumper crops, right? In dry seasons, the return may be tenfold. And there's definitely dry seasons, and that happens in life. Maybe that's where you're at, you know. Maybe a dry season, and that's okay. Those things happen. Look at verse 9. And he, that is Jesus, said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Remember how Jesus opened up with the word listen? How he repeated it? If you have ears to hear, most of us have ears, right? Are we hearing God's word this morning? The rebellious have ears. They don't hear. They're hard-hearted, stiff-necked. You know, the rebellious have eyes. They don't see. This is a strong warning. Be willing to listen. Do the principle in God's word. Take these truths and know that they're right, true, and correct, and apply them. God's word is good soil, man, a good seed. And God wants you to be growing. It has everything to do, everything you need to produce good fruit. The word of God does. The fellowship of believers do. They're going to come alongside of you, encourage you. Staying close, you know, I kind of wrote this down. Stay in the word, stay away from sin. Stay in fellowship of believers, start growing, stay growing. Growing in one's faith, you know. Look at the principle in Mark 4:20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it. Jesus closed his parable with a description of good soil people. Okay, and so Jesus closed that parable for a reason. They're not only hear the word of God because they're gathering around, they're part of the crowd, right? And they accept it, and they inquire more. They want clarity. They want to transform their lives. They're going to experience this. The word accept in the Greek means to acknowledge something as correct. So what he's saying is correct. It's not by works of righteousness, you know, to receive it in a hospitable manner. And I would add humility, really. The point is these people receive the truth of God's word even if they didn't understand it completely. Who understands anything completely that's human living here? None of us do. It goes from their head to their heart, and that's important. So therefore, it's life transforming. They're not arrogant about Scripture. Look what I know. Look what I could quote and preach and teach at you. They're not arrogant about that, but accept God's word as right, true, and correct for people in all places at all times. It's correct. People need to hear it. I need to live it, and I need to do it humbly so that others may come to know him. As a result, they produce, they're preserving believers, they're producing believers. They're producing believers, they're perceiving it, they're living it. That's the message for us. They aren't perfect, but they're clinging to God's word. And that's important to add. None of us are perfect, right? They're not sure, but they seek to apply it. Not quite sure, Lord, what you're saying there, but I know that your spirit's going to reveal this to me. They're open and honest, they're responsive to the Holy Spirit's work in their lives and conviction, and I'm glad I'm still at that point. They're grateful for grace. They seek to put God on display. They're not moving from a seedling to a plant that's producing fruit. They're what? They're lost, right? If they're not moving from that seedling to a plant that ultimately produces fruit, do they really even receive the word? And we're called to do that. A believer that is planted in good soil is doing that. Some people interpret this parable as stages in growth spiritually. One interpretation kind of may look like this. You have the seed on hard soil, That's stubborn. The seed on rocky soil, well, that's just shallow. Next, the seed on thorny soil, that's distracted. But all these seeds are not on the right soil. The parable's not about stages in spiritual growth. That's not what the parable's about. The parable's about being planted in the right soil and the fruit of the seed being planted in God's word and the truth of God's word. And that word, transformational from the head to the heart. You listen and the heart of it is getting in deeply and you're becoming deeply rooted, accepting and then living this. You're being hearers of the word, as James writes, and doers of the word. If you're not planted in the right soil right now, ask God to transplant you. That's neat about God. He forgives, he receives, and we can call out to him, and he hears us. He desires that relationship with us. Take a look at your outline. Notice what it says at the very, very bottom. Be greedy for the word. Go after it. Grab hold of it. Do not let go of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for truths found in the scripture. Thank you for the word and this parable that we've unpacked this morning hour. May your truths transform hearts and lives, even amongst the crowd here. We pray this today in your son's name. Amen.